Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're speaking to the wonderful Emily Shepherd from Usher Kids Australia.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Kate.
So, as everybody knows, we are obsessed with the weather.
Oh, there is sun.
There is sun. There's a gentle wind. I believe a storm is coming, but we will not think on this. I must actually say, our beautiful friends at the Bureau of Meteorology have been getting a bit of media.
There's been a bit of slack for the old bomb. Yeah, they wanted to change their name.
A rebrand. Yes. Mandy and I just want to say we don't know anything about that.
No.
We are not political. We are fence sitters.
We are.
We just like them.
And we're grateful, and our children check the weather every single day.
Number one daughter was over on the weekend and she said, Mum, it was raining really hard one night and I was away. And her and her boyfriend were staying at a friend's house and she goes, and I just woke up, hit the radar, screenshot it, went back to sleep so I could look in the morning and see how it was. So we love you, Mom.
My family loves a black.
Oh, yeah. Well, black. She was. Then she showed me. She's like, look, see how dark it was.
Anyway, enough of that.
Sorry.
Silly. We have got a great guest today who came up to me at pub choir and gave me a big hug, which was really lovely.
Well, P's are huggers. It's hard to not be. Every time Mandy and I do a live show, we're like, we probably won't hug. 3 seconds later,
boom,
everyone in the room's group hugging.
Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so embarrassed about that story, Mandy.
Oh, right. That was great.
I'm trying to teach our kids about consent and personal space, and I completely and utterly went against that. So
the emotions of
It was fine. Yeah. And it was such a joy to be in that room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was. It absolutely was.
It was such a high to be back there. So it's all good.
All good.
I was good. Really glad you did it, actually, because then it reminded me that we wanted to interview you. So,
terrific. Did you both enjoy singing in a group of mostly women? How many men were there? Is there more men there?
Well, it was in a longer room. So, you know how at the Corner Hotel, the band were on the side?
Yes.
They were still on the side, but I couldn't tell.
Okay.
I don't know. Can you remember? I think it was a lot of women.
It was definitely a female-dominated room.
Yeah. Yep.
Just the joy of singing in a group of people. Man.
Anyway, let's get to our questions.
Yep. Okay. So, our first question is, do you have a band or a song or lots of songs that either get you up in the good times or you really need to listen to them in the bad times?
I do. I have a couple for you. So my go-to crying song when I'm feeling down and need a good cry is Adele. Mm. And I know that Adele is on your list already.
Yes.
But this one is called Make You Feel My Love. Yes. And there's a line in it right at the end that says, nothing that I wouldn't do, I'd go to the end of the earth for you. And that just hits me in my
ears. Yeah, it's true.
Jesus.
Yes, yes. God, but goodness. A happy song is Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap. Always just makes me feel.
I love The Temper Trap. That is a good song. Yes. I forgot about it.
But speaking of pub choir, I recently joined a choir.
Oh.
Pop choir.
Wow.
And there's a song that we do in pop choir that I wanted to gift you both.
Yeah.
This song reminds me of the two of you and the community that you have created.
Oh.
And it's called Home by Phillip Phillips. And one of the lines says, just know you're not alone. Mm. I'm going to make this place your home. And I think that's how I feel about what you have created here. So I hope that goes on your playlist and I hope that when you listen to it, I feel very proud of yourself.
Thank you, Emily.
I've written it down.
Yes.
And I don't know that song.
Will put that on Spotify.
I'm going to go listen to it this
afternoon. I think he's maybe an American Idol.
Right.
You know,
Even better.
I'm just so out of pop culture.
It's a very good song. Tell me about pop choir. Like, is it every week? Is it?
Pop choir, yes, big plug here. So pop choir do different suburbs in Melbourne every night. So I think it's Mornington, Mordialloc, Moorabbin and Murrumbina.
As long as the M's.
Coming out to Moorabbin.
And they do it.
When are they coming to Moorabbin?
Moorabbin, yes. So it's just something that I wanted to do after coming out of doing pop choir or couch choir during that. And it's just my 1 hour a week. And it's funny, my kids, I just couldn't be bothered going one night. And they're like, no, Mum, you have to go. You have to go. You come home so happy.
Yes.
Like, okay, I will go. So
do you know anyone there or did you just do?
No one. No,
wow, that's brave.
Yeah. But it's just everyone just is happy to, you know, be there and out and singing. So it's
okay,
wonderful.
Peasy, living in an M suburb. Go.
Yes.
Just go.
Pop choir, yes.
No, is there an audition process like Australian Girls Choir?
No.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
I definitely wouldn't be in it if there was an audition.
Do you have to wear sequins like I had to?
And lots of
sweet Adelines. No.
You can wear whatever you want.
Yes, true.
Okay,
true.
Good. Love
it. Okay, so my question is, did you win any awards at school?
I won some, yes. I was an annoying kid at school. I was good at sport. Mm. So I won some random sporting awards along the way. However, I hit year eight and I had a couple of surgeries on my knees and that was the end of my, sporting career. So I peaked in high school in sport and everything else and it's just sort of been downhill since then. So there you go.
I mean, my boobs peaked in high school. That is the
Mine are peaking now. That's
are
the issue.
They? Really?
No, mine are never going to be perky or peaky ever again.
funny.
Oh, dear.
Mm, okay, and our big question. Why are you a P?
I am a P. I didn't really know whether I was a P at the beginning when I started listening to your podcast. I don't have twins and do I fit and am I part? But I am a P. I have a beautiful 12-year-old son who has a condition called Usher syndrome, which causes deafness and blindness. Mm. And, so he has made me a P and changed our life and for the better.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why I'm here with you today.
Yeah. Well, so we want to hear all about your family.
So we'll go back to the start, the pregnancy and everything, but is he your first, second, first?
He is my second. I have a 15-year-old daughter who is otherwise healthy.
Yeah.
He came along, so she was, a little bit over three, boring pregnancy, boring birth really, painful, obviously. Yeah, but, you know, yeah. But and then we took him home from hospital, and we just knew that there was just something
happening. Did they do the newborn hearing screening?
No, so he was born at a private hospital in Melbourne, and apparently it was like one of the last hospitals to.
Right.
So my daughter had it. She was born in a public hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
But he missed out. And it was only because he was our second. Mm. If he was our first, we wouldn't have known. But because he was our second, we brought him home, and it's just like, I don't think he can hear us. Oh, you know, we had a really noisy 3-year-old, and we took him to the maternal health nurse, and she did a random bell ring.
Yeah.
And she actually did it where he could see it, and he stopped crying. And she said, no, his hearing's fine. His hearing's fine. You've got nothing to worry about. Send us home. And then a couple of weeks later, I just not feeling great about this. So we went back again, and they said, you don't tick any of the high risk factors for hearing loss. But I said, I'd really like to have a test anyway. So we went to Monash for the diagnostic audiology. And I just remember sitting in that room at Monash. It's not the nicest hospital.
No, it's not a big hospital in Melbourne.
I could just, she was just silent, and I just knew that there was something coming. And she just said, I'm not picking anything up. And it was so loud, I could hear it. So he had the loud in his ears. And I, you know, he was sleeping soundly in my arms, and I just knew that it was not good news. So, from there we sort of got swept up in a big early intervention.
Yes.
We were sent to Hearing Australia for hearing aids, which they said very early on were not strong enough to ever give him access to speech and language.
Mm.
So we visited the cochlear implant clinic within the first 12 months, but really, still during that time, we just knew that there was more going on. They said to us at the early intervention, any of the milestones that are non-language related will still tick as normal. He'll crawl, he'll do all of those things as normal. And he just didn't. He was a floppy baby. He was just quite poorly.
And is that a balance?
It is. Well, we know now that that is from the vestibular dysfunction, part of Usher syndrome. Mm. Walked at 2, which is quite late.
Mm.
Still very clumsy. So that's the vestibular component that causes all those gross motor development delays. But at that stage, there was really nothing that we could do. They just kept saying, you know, we'll have some physio and have some OT. And we were, you know, sort of waiting for this big cochlear implant surgery as well. So I remember we saw an ophthalmologist early on, which is quite normal for deaf children to see an ophthalmologist regularly as well, just to try and pick up any. There are some other conditions that cause both vision and hearing loss. And I remember he was about 1, and I said to the ophthalmologist, could he have this condition called Usher syndrome? Because I had Googled, as we all do.
Yes, Google. We do.
And the mums know.
Yes,
the mums know. So the vestibular component obviously came up in our search.
Mm.
And I said, you know, could he have this? And she said, well, why would you want to know?
Oh,
if my son's going to lose his vision, I want it. You know,
yes,
I really want it.
Of course,
I
if, it, if, it, I if it's a vestibular prepared. Thing as well, then we can really scaffold around it and make sure that our home works better. So, of course, we want to know.
Yeah. So, she also said as well that it's not something that they could rule out possibly until he was in his late teens.
Is that true?
And I just thought, that's just so weird. We're just sitting and waiting to see if these eye symptoms come up.
So there wasn't any eye symptoms then?
There was no eye symptoms. Mm-hmm. No, he was only 1 at that stage. No eye symptoms. So we did a little bit of investigating, and we saw a geneticist back at Monash. And I can't believe how quickly the world of genetics has changed since, 10 years ago now. So she was able to send a sample of his to the States, and I think it took 8 or 9 months.
Right.
It was
They
tested for, I think there was around then there was maybe 120 known genes to cause hearing loss.
Right.
And then that came back when he was 3.5, and they told us that he had Usher syndrome and he was going to lose his vision. And I remember sitting in the room out at Monash again, about as outpatient out at Monash. With my husband, and just because we had known this of this condition, and really that was the one that we were hoping that it wasn't. Mm. Everything else we thought we could deal with, but this just it absolutely just crushed us. And of course, thought that he's 3.5, he's profoundly deaf, he's got to rely on his vision going forward. You know, this is the other person he's going to need, and now he's going to lose that as well. And we it was just such a really difficult time. I remember coming home from that appointment just going, what do we do?
Yes.
What do we do now? Like, it was just so frightening and so isolating. Mm. And what does his future look like? Like, what, you know, what sort of quality of life is he going to have? Like, it just was just hit hard, because we were sort of really just getting used to the idea of a profound hearing loss. Yeah. He had good access to hearing with his cochlear implants. He was learning to speak.
And you knew who he was at 3.5. You know who this little boy is. Yeah. It's different to a 1-year-old, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And then we just, it was just like, just life as we knew it was over.
Mm.
And I remember calling very early on, I called a vision service in tears saying, what do we do? You know, we've just got this diagnosis. And they said, oh, what's his vision like now? And I'm like, oh, well, as far as we can tell, it's pretty good. And they said, yep, no worries. Just give us a call back when it starts to deteriorate.
Oh.
And I was like, well, what do I do now? And they said, oh, we can give you an email. We'll take your email address and we'll, keep you updated with our newsletter, what have you. And I remember being so distraught that I couldn't tell the person on the phone my email address.
Yes.
I just couldn't say letters. I couldn't say words. Like, I was so distressed, just going, but you were my only hope. Yes. You were going to give me answers.
Yes.
And they turned us away. And really that block funding model, you know, now we've got the NDIS model, it just, we didn't qualify for service. How do you service a child with good vision?
Yes.
How do you provide vision services to that? So that really just sparked in me a desire to change the system. This is not good enough. If you're going to go to the trouble of giving me this diagnosis early, before the onset of this vision loss, then we've got to change the way we support parents. Wow. So, fast forward, 10 years or 8 years since that diagnosis, we now have what is known as Usher Kids Australia.
Oh, Emily.
It just was my motivation to just don't want any parent to ever feel like that.
Oh,
just the loneliness of just, we just went home with nothing, with no information. So
there was no organisation. So you're it.
I'm it, So I, it's myself and my co-director, Holly.
But there was nowhere to ring.
There was nowhere, no. And they, the geneticist did say, go home, Google, there might be a support group. There wasn't.
Wow. And sorry, how many children are diagnosed?
Well, it's a really good question. Mm. I've got a couple of papers on the go at the moment trying to work out what the prevalence is, but it's estimates of about 5% of all children born with hearing in Australia. So there's hundreds of us. It's not, it's rare, but it's not, 30 of us in the country.
No,
there are hundreds of us.
Yeah.
There's obviously hundreds of adults as well. Mm. So we're a significant rare disease, but
a group till now.
Oh no,
it's pretty incredible.
No, and
it just takes brave people, doesn't it?
On people who know other people.
I met Holly. It's funny. My stepdad actually worked with Air Ambulance Victoria, and when I told him, he was crushed. Like, all of our family was.
Yes.
And he's just like, well, we're just going to give him a really good time.
So
he's like, come out to Moorabbin and we'll just put him, come out to Essendon. We went out to Essendon actually, and he just said, let's put him on a helicopter. Like, let's just give him all of these great experiences.
Yes.
And so anyway, the Herald Sun got involved and came and did a story on us and this beautiful helicopter. We had this helicopter ride, and it was just a day filled with absolute joy.
Mm.
So Holly and her husband read this article in the Herald Sun and were like, okay, well, profound hearing loss, cochlear implants, balance issues, tick, tick, tick. And they said, well, could our child have Usher syndrome as well? So they took the article to their geneticist and they said, oh, it's really rare, it's highly unlikely. Anyway, so 6 months later I get a call from Holly saying it was that article drove us to get a diagnosis. I met her and I convinced her to come to Boston with me to a global Usher conference. And we were just really amazed by how advanced they were in different countries.
Right.
Support, the medical experts, the everything. So we just came home saying, this is us. We've got to change this. So, yeah.
How did you feel taking that phone call from her and thinking, I can be the person on the other end in this time?
Yeah.
It actually just, for me, cemented that this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
There is no one in Australia that she could have called that could have given her exactly what I was able to give her.
So definitely.
I just thought that, like, yes, you can get medical information or advice or what have you, but I'm the one who can understand exactly how you're feeling right now.
And you're another parent.
You're absolutely. And I just knew, I just knew that that's the gap that I have to fill. So, yeah.
Amazing.
So that's what we've been doing. We've now got
obviously Holly's quite nice.
Oh, yes.
That's a bonus, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Exactly. And she lived about two suburbs away as well.
Oh,
so that,
incredible.
That worked out as well. So,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that makes a difference. Even for Kate and I, that makes a difference.
It's tricky if you live miles and miles away from each other.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't actually see her that often, I must say. But it is... Yeah, we've got the same, community. We've got some of the same doctors.
Yeah.
So
tell us about Boston. What was that like going to the conference?
It was really confronting. Mm. So my husband came as well, and it was sort of maybe 12 months after our diagnosis, and I think we just held on to this date that Truth is going to provide all the answers.
Yeah.
It was the first time that we'd left the kids before. It was just... emotional roller coaster, really.
Yeah.
But we got, I've got friends there who I met who are other parents who are still friends to this day.
Yeah.
Who are just, just that feeling of, you get it. Like, these are my people. You're just in a room.
Yeah.
But seeing adults with doing tactile signing, with guide dogs, with white canes. When you've got a little 3-year-old or 4-year-old is really, really confronting.
Mm.
But it's just exactly what we needed. We needed to hear about the research. We needed to hear what doctors were doing. We needed to meet other families. So it was one of the best things we ever did.
And did they have adults with Usher syndrome talking and giving lived experience?
Yeah. And I think that, a lot of the science then went over my head, still does probably.
Yeah.
But having your morning tea and having a lunch and getting to chat with those other people is just pure.
Oh, yes.
Just pure.
Definitely.
Yes. You don't realize how lonely you're feeling until then you feel like, right.
I have had
to travel to the other side of the world to find my people.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is why that Adele song.
Yes.
I go to the ends of the earth for you. In the fields all the time. Yeah, I did. And I went back to Germany a couple of years later on my own. Oh, Holly went separately as well, but to another conference. But I was in a completely different mindset. I was, I was a leader of a support group in Australia.
Yes.
So I was there, I was.
Had your own lanyard.
it was good. Yeah. Yeah. And I had a little holiday in Paris on my own.
Oh.
So lovely. Oh. So just. So lovely. It's the best thing as well, just having 3 days to get over jet lag, just in a city on my own. It was
that's something to treasure.
Yeah.
And you know it at the time. You're like, treasure this.
Every step you take.
Okay, I'm happy.
I'm happy.
Yeah. And then, coming home to hit COVID, it's like, so grateful to get those
experiences.
What was it like?
That's being worked about the science, and that's what gives us the hope that clinical research into eye disease going to give our kids a different future. So so it is. It just fills you with complete joy and hope, just connecting and learning. So it's very good.
So there's not a lot of that sort of medical research in Australia, is there?
Yeah, there is actually. Yeah, you'd be surprised. So the we've got a couple of big trials happening here in that Australia. And again, okay. Holly and her husband have been on the forefront of ensuring that there is increased amount of trials here for this particular eye condition. So there's a group in Western Australia, the Lion's Eye Institute. There's the Centre for Eye Research here in Melbourne. There's Safe Sight Institute in Sydney. And it's a very small, all those doctors work, researchers work together. It's really, it's rapidly changing. So, each year there's, they're closer and closer to, maybe not cures, but treatments to slow down the deterioring eye condition.
Can you tell us about accessing school or kinder and how did you do that?
Yeah, so we the hearing loss really was Lewis's biggest challenge during those kinder years. So he went to a deaf school deaf kinder 3 years out in Blackburn. Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
Which was lovely.
My mother-in-law used to work there.
Mm. Oh, it's just an amazing place. Small classrooms. It's just what is just exactly what he needed. He was very behind, gross motor language, everything. So, they had speech pathologists, occupational
beautiful
therapists.
Grounds. Yeah, I remember really taking my girls in and they'd have a play in the playground.
Beautiful. And two teachers. So he had a hearing teacher and a deaf teacher who would sign. So bilingual program, which was just really just
how did you choose that? Because I know there's, people choose, do we want to do signing or do we want to do talking?
That's a whole nother podcast,
I know.
So it's, I think that it has changed a little bit. It was definitely when we first started investigating the cochlear implants, it was one or the other.
Yes.
Sort of a couple of years in, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to make my own decision.
Yeah, great.
You're going to ruin their language development. But then having said that, in the deaf community, there are some hesitations about cochlear implants.
Yes, that's right.
But I think that, you know what, I know what's best for our family and we make the decisions based on what we know. We have been, I still have a tutor now, a tutor every week. With my Auslan class, I've done up to cert 3. So, but it's been really helpful more so for the work through Usher Kids and the adults, some of the adults that we meet. So in the deaf-blind world, more so than my son, he likes to I'll sign to him, but he'll talk back. He likes talking. But I know that he can understand when I do sign to him and it's been really handy at the beach or in the pool. Things like that. So, or when I'm telling them off, it's a really handy, really handy language for all children.
My husband has a severe hearing loss, so we don't technically use Auslan, but we make up our own signs in our family. You just don't realise.
Yeah.
When we're at the theme parks and we're miles away and we're doing little things and you think, oh, is anyone watching us? Like, it's beautiful.
Great.
Yeah,
it is. It is a beautiful visual language as well. So I do love.
What about choosing a school? What did you do?
Choosing a school was really difficult. So we travelled quite a bit for the and that that was a really big commitment.
What's it like, a 45-minute drive?
By the end, by
and
the
you
third
had your big
year,
girl, she probably was at school
I
by
was
then,
driving to and from. But then on the third year, he would go in a maxi taxi with four other children.
Yes.
And I thought, I could never put my little child on this cab. And my goodness, you drive to 45 minutes there and back every day for 3 years. So, and they used to, the bus used to come and beep and he'd climb up. We'd put his car seat in and, it was just love. It was a very big, big help for us. And then school, we were really big on, there are schools around that have a deaf facility, so I have teachers of the deaf and obviously better acoustics and all that type of stuff in their classroom. However, that, again, would have been a drive for us and a big commitment, would have impacted on my daughter.
Yes.
So we just made a decision to go to our local school, and if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, we would look at other options. We wanted the option to just walk to school. I just had I was tired. I was sick of being hard, sick of appointments.
So having friends nearby is so important, and everybody else's kids gets to have that. So I get that as well. I do too.
So now I've got a boy in grade six who rides his bike back every day.
Wow.
And you don't have to be, you know, controlled by that 3:30 pickup anymore. So it's a dream. And the people at our school are in our local community. Yes. They're the ones we sport with. We see the supermarket. Like we're part of a local community, and that has worked.
Super important.
And I bet you never thought you'd have a big boy riding his bike.
No, well, the bike, a lot of kids with Usher, because of the vestibular stuff, they actually never are able to ride a two-wheeler.
Right.
And we did a lot of work, early on, and it just was too hard.
Yeah.
He had a trike for a long time, and he would push off to school in his little trike with a little flag on the back. And, it's so wide. It's like cars have to go around. And then it was during COVID that we were spending more time at home, and he just clicked.
Clicked.
Everything
amazing.
Clicked. And so then we had to ditch the trike and get him a two-wheeler. So he has, mind you, he has had a fair few falls. He broke three fingers falling off it last year.
Ouch.
And had 20 stitches or something in his leg from another fall. But he assures me that it wasn't vision loss. It was just, it was a balance issue, or just kids fall off bike, mum.
That's true. They do.
Because I get all panicky thinking, no, you can't be riding, your vision's deteriorating.
Of course, you're on high alert.
But he loves it.
So he's going to go to a local, our local public high school next year with his sister, and she wouldn't. Probably wouldn't admit it, but she's really happy to have him there. She doesn't want anyone else knowing that he's there. But she's the older sister, but she's there. She'll be there if she needs.
She can tell him what it's like.
Just walk, 500 meters behind me.
Yeah, fair. Yep. Yep.
Of course.
Did vision loss, has it become a thing?
Yeah, so he has night blindness now. So he struggles from dusk, really, when the lights start to change outside. So he plays a bit of sport. So, cricket training or football training or something that he's done before, as soon as it starts to get dark, he struggles a little bit more. So, but just depends. Some sports grounds are really well lit. Camp is a bit of hard work. He needs some extra support at camp because, between 9 and 3 at school or 9 and 3:30, his light is good. It definitely has a peripheral vision loss. So we go back to the ophthalmologist, the dreaded ophthalmology day. It'd take 3 hours of testing and stinging eye drops, But it's just rubbish because we just know that they're never going to give us good news. They can't do anything except say, yes, it's still there, and yes, it's a little bit worse than it was last year, and send us on our way. So it's slow, but it's happening. Like it is, we are living a life of, deteriorating vision loss, and that's just the reality. So lots of people are talking now about getting their driver's license, and I think it'll hit home again when our daughter turns 16 next year, she's going to get her learners. But we'll cross that bridge when
Does he talk about it, or is he just like
in and out sometimes? He really something will really surprise him or shock him, or when we talk, for example, talking about getting a driver's license, he's like, well, why wouldn't I be able to? And it's like, oh, well, maybe we'll get an Uber account instead, or maybe we'll driverless car, or something like that. And he's just like, kind of forgot about that. But it does hit home. And then sometimes there might be a problem with school and there's a behaviour issue or something, and if you dig a little deeper, it's, just this enormous worry that at nighttime, things hit home. So, but he's got a good support system through the school and through a psychologist as well, talking about it's just really hard to grieve something that is not hasn't happened yet as well. It's just this anticipatory grief, I suppose, that is it happening? Is it happening? You know, what's going to happen tomorrow? Like it's pretty rubbish. But
I don't know at all, but I think often kids can't really imagine what I'm going to be like in 5 years. Like the whole concept of it's very immediate.
Well, I can't imagine what life's going to be like in five years. So I don't know. Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's difficult. And 12 years old, like it's going to high school and just finding out about yourself. Like plus this extra thing of, you know, I've got a vision loss as well. So,
With Usher Kids, what does that look like in terms of, is there a Facebook group? Do people meet? How do you manage it?
Yeah, so it's it's interesting. So I've just spent the morning on the phone to a teacher of the deaf who is working with a new child. So they are able to call me or email me or contact us through the website, and I'm able to go through where the family's at. We've got a case coordinator who is funded through an ILC program through the NDIS. Who's able to work with the family, see where they're at, what appointments they might need support with, what reports they might need, looking at a change of situation through the NDIS to see if they need to get some more supports for the vision side of things, and really just link them up with other families. Do you want to, you know, some parents want to meet someone straight away, others just want to read information. So we've got a whole library, about 30 hours of professional development on our website.
Wow. For webinars
across the year. So a teacher of the deaf or a pediatrician or an ophthalmologist who has never, ophthalmologist would have heard about it, but anyone who in that healthcare professional space who is working with a family who may not know much about it, educators, et cetera, can jump on and do little modules and learn along the way. Yeah. So for me, that means an informed healthcare team means that there's less burden on mum and dad. So, especially with rare diseases, they're just continually explaining the condition to doctor. So this just means that mum can be mum and not have to be the case coordinator or the
constantly.
Yeah. We have events, we have conferences when we're not in COVID.
Yeah.
We work a lot with, behind the scenes with genetics teams and NDIS working out, getting things recognised, really, a bit of advocacy behind the scenes. Mm.
Are you part of a worldwide group or?
So there is a group in the States, the Usher Coalition. That's who we first travelled to Boston to a conference to. So, we're very well connected with them. However, we are very close to a group. We helped establish Usher Kids UK with another mum who we met along the way there, who was in the same boat as us, just desperate for support and wasn't able to find it. So she's, going from strength to strength there with Usher Kids UK. And then there's a group in the States called Ava's Voice, who we work really closely with, which again are looking after particularly young kids and young families. We do monthly calls between the three groups. Parents, so we get on a call and there's, people from all over the globe there. And we just chat, really. We just talk about some wins and some losses and, just celebrate a few things and then just be there for people when they, when they've got some questions or whether they just want to have a whinge about, a doctor
being. Yeah, a rectum.
Yep.
A rectum, yep.
Yeah, it's not,
How does that feel, thinking I've brought all these people together?
It's pretty nice. Sometimes it stops me in my tracks, like, look what we've created. And even like a new family getting in contact and I'm able to say, here's some information, here's some stories, here's a group, here's this, here's that. And I'm like, this is, and they might not ever know that, what life looked like without all of that. But I'm like, so I do. I sometimes just think about my previous self and that she would be really proud of me.
Oh, she would.
Yeah.
How long does it take each week to do all this?
It's a full-time job. Yeah, I also have a job, and I'm also stupidly have gone back to uni, and I'm
going
to
say studying, aren't you?
Yeah. Masters in public health.
I'm 15 units down, 1 unit to go in my
wow.
Masters.
Wow, Emily, yeah. Congratulations. So,
yeah. Do you sleep?
No, I don't. No. It's funny, my I do this Auslan training, and she's like, "What are you doing? Why?" I just have a really hard trouble saying no to things.
Yeah,
but I'm heavily involved in cricket as well, which is just so ridiculous.
No, I am because not you love cricketer. It. Are you, but do you love cricket or
no? I don't love the game of cricket, but I love. it was funny. So my husband played a lot of cricket,
right?
And I was always going to weddings and things by myself in my our 20s and 30s.
Oh, really? So he wasn't going to miss a game.
Hardcore. No.
Oh no. You don't. No.
Not
you
even
don't
for a wedding.
Training. No. So, yes.
Why do people get married during cricket season? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah, well,
how rude.
Silly of them.
Yeah. Footy players. Is that married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when Lewis was about 3 and a half, when we found out about his Usher syndrome, I had a job, and we knew that there was going to be more.
Yes.
He needed more from me. So I quit my job then, and my husband took up a second job umpiring cricket. So he travelled a little bit to fill the gap of finances. Mm. So he travelled for quite a bit umpiring cricket across the country.
He must have been a pretty good cricketer.
Understands
the rules. Well, anyway.
He'll tell you how wonderful he is. I think umpiring just came to – he would never have gone into umpiring.
No, right.
But it just was an opportunity to
make some money.
Yeah.
And at the time he was flexible with his his full-time work. So it just worked. And then, over the years it just got, as we just – doing better with the family, he's like, I think that it's time to just give it away. And then I was like, I think that's a really good time for me to go and join a cricket team. So I went and joined our local cricket team, really just as a, I've done weekends on my own for so long.
Yes, yes.
Kids. So I'm going to take Sunday afternoon off.
Great.
Just an amazing, amazing bunch of women.
So you play cricket?
Yes.
On a Sunday afternoon, yeah. Awesome. And, of course, I'm on the committee and I'm running.
But you don't like cricket. Am I getting this
all
wrong?
No, I don't really like it. I'm so old. It hurts my body. It's really painful. Stupid game.
Just stand in the sun.
Such a good game. Oh, my goodness. I love
but
cricket so much.
There's just something about being on a field. I can't. No one can call me. No.
Yes. They
put me right out the back on the boundary line.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I'm going to join cricket.
There's walking cricket.
There's walking cricket.
Yes. There you go. Mm. Yeah. So there you go. So that's how I spend my Sunday afternoons.
So
and
what do you do in winter? Do you just have to get
what do I do in winter?
You just go there and stand out there.
Say to the footy player, excuse me, I've got to be here for 3 hours.
No, my knees would.
No.
I know.
No. I go to the physio to get over all
yes,
my
all the cricket. I know. I'm thrilled to hear that.
That's amazing.
It is. It's really nice. And my kids play cricket as well.
Yeah.
And my kids are playing at my club now as well. She's too good for me. She's up a different level for me. It's funny. She's like, I thought I was coming to your club to play with you. I'm like, well, I'm obviously not as good as you.
Year-old girls need to hear that.
You've surpassed
pump them up a little bit more.
Just be better, Mum.
Just be
better.
Okay. So easy.
Yeah.
This is me at my best.
But because I can't help myself, I do a lot of, I'm on the committee, of course, at the cricket club and do a lot of, help them with a lot of grants and a lot of, gender equality stuff. We're in a male dominated so the girls program and the women's program is still developing, so
awesome.
I've got my all abilities that I've posted in our Facebook group,
all
abilities program is again just there's so many kids there who have just never had an opportunity to play sport and cricket. So our all abilities program is on a Friday night when there's a normal regular blasters program. Last year, I think we had about 10 kids. I think we've got about 15 this year.
Awesome. Congratulations.
It just makes my skin tingle. Yeah.
It's so important.
Last year, we gave them a shirt and one of them called us to say he hasn't taken his shirt off. He's never been a part of a team.
Stop it,
he's never
had
a uniform before. And I'm like, oh, this is we just have to keep going.
Yes. So we've got this is what sport from, is actually supposed about. To be.
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely. This is sport, yeah. Not playing at the elite level or wanting your kid to be on the top team.
No. And it was interesting. We had a meeting about it this week and it's like, oh, how many can we take and do we cap it? I'm like, no, we're not capping it. No, we're not turning anyone away who wants to come and have a try. So,
and just watch us. This will grow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's what absolutely. You want to say.
Yeah. 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 And it's, you know, for me, what the end goal is our kids have got skills for life. They've got, you know, getting a job. And it's silly to think that cricket can play a part in that.
Of course it can. They're
connected to their community. Yes. Their mental health and well-being is good because they're part of something. They've got purpose. And
it's something as silly as going to a presentation night. Yeah. Getting dressed up once a year, something fun to go to because you might not be able to do that anywhere else. All those things are so important.
And we've got a couple of our older kids who were in the program last year who we've invited back as mentors. So we're giving them some leadership development as well. So, yeah, it's a really, really nice program. So
we will have all the details in the show notes. Where you can find it. Anybody in the M suburbs?
Yeah. You've got to live in an M area in Melbourne.
Well, this isn't B. No. This is Bentley.
Bentley.
But, it's
okay.
Close to an M.
Yeah.
Terrific.
No, sorry. Yeah. Pop choir, M, cricket, B.
Tell us the name of the cricket club then. Tell us. And then...
Yeah, Bentley. It's Bentley Cricket Club. So
And good Melbourne. On you, Bentley Cricket Club, yes, for embracing Emily and allowing her to do this most important work.
I mean, it's hard enough to get a women's team.
Yes.
Up and running. So you're
and in all abilities you've got people have to understand that those kids might not be able to come every week. They might not be able to be committed for a season. There's hospital visits and sickness and all those sorts of things. So it has to be uber flexible.
Oh, absolutely. And there is no commitment. There's no cost. All the equipment supplied. And Friday nights are a rubbish time for kids to come out and, you know, they're tired. I'm tired on a Friday night. It's super
a good community time.
But in summertime it's nice. Yeah. Like we did little laughs and, you know, it's just.
And do you have, I don't know, a sausage sizzle or the bar or.
There's definitely food and the women's program actually then go and train after.
Awesome.
After the Blasters. So, yeah, it's just a lovely community club. Really good things. So,
even though you're doing a lot and it's taxing, some women thrive on doing this.
Yes, I like
obviously,
to be busy.
Yeah, I like to too. You feel a part of something, and that's really important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I'm never bored. That's for sure.
No.
Yeah, and I do. I do say that I can't say no, but I say yes to things that feel
that are important. That's
right. I think we do say no to the things that we don't.
Definitely.
Do.
So I don't want women to be put down for being busy and choosing things that are important.
No, definitely not.
And my kids have got a great life. Like, you know, they don't need me. They're at an age now where, you know, they don't need me so much. So yeah, I've got more time to dedicate to those. Yeah,
things that in the cricket pitch
that matter.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your dreams for Usher Kids?
That's a really great question. What we're working on at the moment is with our group in the States and the UK, They've started having some usher camps, I'm hoping to put my son and I on a plane next year to go to the States, see how they run it.
Yes, and then bring it here.
And do an usher camp.
And do you get funding?
So we hope that the funding will come from philanthropy.
Yeah,
really. But government funding, we can't justify the amount of cost for the amount of people that it impacts. You know, we might be talking about 10 people on a camp, which just is not, you know, justifiable to government funding when they, you know, it's just not enough people to support. So we're putting together a proposal and hope that there's a business out there who wants to.
Well, if you're listening, please.
If you want
to. I remember when I was at church, we used to have like a small group and we'd sit around and go around a circle. And I remember this guy, Luke, I will never forget him. And he's like, what would you like to be when you grow up? We're probably all about 16, 17. What would you like to be? And, you know, people, I'll be a missionary, I'll be a nurse. And he goes, I've put a lot of thought into this, but I think I want to be a philanthropic billionaire. But I always think of it because I'm like, imagine just being able to say, yes, I have the funds to enable this. And every time I go to like a concert hall or a hospital and you see plaques, I think somebody is rich enough.
And people are listening to this, Emily. So
that's our dream, is to camp. Our kids, I was just going to say, our kids struggle. They go to deaf programs or deaf camps and, you know, they fit, but they don't really, you know, there's more to the story. And then they go to things that are, you know, for children with vision loss, and they don't really fit there because they might have still some really good vision left, and it's just like, well, where do we fit?
Yes.
And it was my son who was like, well, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that, and, you know, Mum, you need to do an usher, and I'm like, okay,
I will.
After I've got my master's, I'll do that.
I've got lots of contacts in the camping world, so I'll put you onto them.
Yeah, so I think that you know, our dream really is to do it sort of in the July time, so that we can open it up to people to in the States and
because it's their summer
and come in that big break. And then we've got a global community of families, and I see kids coming here and living with us when they might go to uni. Yes. Or something like that. So that would be my dream, is to just
goosebumps, Emily. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you're amazing. Women, I'm sorry, but women are amazing.
Totally.
They just go, there's
look
a need.
What you've done.
I will fill it.
I know.
With no experience or
I've had some pretty low times in just the, you know, the poor me and the why me and how, you know, why is this happening? Yeah. But it's like, well, you've got a choice. You really do. You have a choice. It just is like, well, what I can complain, but like, no one's going to listen to me. Firstly, like, it just is. No one's going to whinge, or I can just be part of the solution. And I just, you know, and that just it kept me sane. Really, it's just I have to do this. And I buried, you know, all my emotions in working really hard. But I think that was all I knew how to cope was that's just what I had to do. So, and now, you know, we're reaping the rewards, and our new families are just, you know, step into this community, and, you know, we're welcomed with a big warm pub choir hug.
Oh, yes.
What a way to bookend the episode.
Sometimes burying into what you said, into not accepting things or facing it so that you can get on with it, is the truth of parenting.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, we say this all the time, but, you know, future Emily will have this.
Yeah.
Future Kate will have it, right?
Yeah.
And I trust her, you know, so we just have to let ourselves do it at some point and not today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do say that a lot. That's next week, Emily's problem.
Yes.
I have that capacity, my brain.
Yes, no, of course.
Don't tell me that.
Oh.
I
love future Kate. I mean, she's never let me down.
No.
Never.
She is
better than me.
She's she makes some mistakes.
But, you know.
It's never changing, right? It's good.
Is there anything we've missed that you want to tell the P community?
Look, I've got so many things that I
know.
I just just be kind to each other, yes. Really is what it comes down to for me. It's just that you just really don't know. And I know it's a cliche, but you just don't know what's going on with someone. What's, you know, just be kind and give them a hug and just be generous with your give when you can give, and then you're able to just, you'll have a tribe around you when you will.
And I'm thinking of our listeners, Dean and Kelly, who are blind. Yes. I know that they'll get in contact with us or you. I'm sure they will. They're beautiful members of our community.
Oh, the best. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and there's probably many more.
Yes. They're just the ones that we're friends with.
But I just want to encourage you, tell you we're proud of you.
So proud. What a woman. You're an awesome human.
Right? Thank you for coming and accosting me at Pub Choir.
Women doing stuff is my jam.
And to
see
go.
See what Pub Choir does.
I know, it brought us together. But I just think, what a woman.
Mm.
And what you've done for your community is extraordinary.
It is.
And take that to your heart today.
Yeah.
And know that we think you're an amazing woman.
We do. Yeah. Thanks for giving us your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got
anytime.
Keep going.
Keep going. One foot after another.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Let us know when you get your master's. We'll get Yasmin to give you a little award.
Yasmin will make you an award. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Oh, Mandy, I love that.
Oh, Emily, I'm so glad you came up and grabbed me.
Yes.
In Pub Choir. She was on our list, but then the list just got so big. So it was my apologies to her that I missed her because she did contact us early on.
And occasionally there's we'll have something that we sort of have to slot in.
Yeah, that's right. So terrific. I'm so glad we interviewed her. And you heard about Usher Kids. I mean, what a woman.
Oh, I still am just in shock that she did all that.
So am I. I just think awesome.
You know, okay, we wrote a book, so there's paperwork involved in that. But what we do, Annalise does the show notes, even though we can do them.
Yeah.
But we're not constantly updating people about things and people who do involved in research. I take my hat off to you. You know, it's
the beautiful tapestry of P World.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So what made you cry this week?
So what made me cry was, and I know it sounds silly, I have started making gingerbread dough. So I have to make it a few lots. Mm-hmm. I have to put it in the freezer and then I put it, has to go in the fridge for an hour. Thank you. It is my signature gift, signature dish, and also gift probably.
I really hope
year.
I get one.
Yeah, you will get one.
Oh, thanks.
And so I was making gingerbread and I'd had a bit of a tricky day. I didn't realize how tricky it had been until I broke the egg into the gingerbread dough and the eggshell broke and I just stood there and cried and looking at the eggshell and you can get it out so
two
easily.
Eggs in the episode. In the,
two eggs
in
and
the
I
recipe,
was like, look at the shell. And I knew I was being ridiculous, but I cried anyway.
It doesn't matter.
I was like, nah, okay.
It was the egg that broke the camel's back.
So that is my ridiculous cry for the week, but I know everyone gets it.
Yes.
What about you?
Mine was listening and editing over all the Special Olympics episodes, getting everyone's feedback.
Incredible.
People sending me
people
all these
have
messages.
Loved it. It's the Instagram's gone off. How can it not? It's everything. We love it. So.
And I just cried and laughed the whole time. I bet. And just.
You can hear it. That's what's so good because it's actually real. Like, I mean, not that we're not real.
Oh, it was
but
in real time.
It's in real time. Yeah. So often we're talking to someone a year after they've won something. Or, it was really.
Oh, and I just was also relieved that it worked.
I know. I was like, wow, we've got a roving report.
I know. I feel like it's
feel
a whole new
very,
thing.
Like posh and proper.
I really enjoyed it. Mm. So, I just was teary listening. Luca and his acknowledgement of country. And then
beautiful.
The man who did the athlete pledge. I just, every time I hear it, I think,
it's a
magic time.
It's actually, they're remarkable episodes.
And people saying to me, you know, the world underestimates people with intellectual disabilities.
Absolutely.
I'm like, yes, you listen. Listen to articulation.
The number just is
incredible.
The number to have an intellectual disability. I hate
it. The number only really matters in the boxes of school.
Yeah, I know. But so, I think then we have this perceived ableism.
Yes.
And it's just
everywhere.
Ridiculous.
It's incredible. So thank you to everyone who messaged me and cheered us on for those episodes. It really
loved it.
I just cried at people's messages. It's beautiful.
Thank you. It's been outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay. So my make a difference this week is that I have 6 beautiful crab apples out the front of my house. Yes. Some people know my house. You'll know my crab apples. When we built the house, which was 14, 15 years ago, my best friend in the whole world, Rachel, said, you should plant crab apples.
Mm.
And she's always wanted them. So every time she comes over, she's like, that should be mine. So we had no garden. It was just this empty block with 6 little crab apples.
Worth it.
And they have really grown and blossomed, as you would say. Anyway, they have been stunning this year, and I probably won't be living in the house next November. They always come out around Cup Day, just a little bit before, and the bees buzz and
they're beautiful.
They are so beautiful. And you know, blossom, it's 2 or 3 weeks and it's over.
Yes.
But I've really soaked them up every day. I've sat and looked at them every day.
Yeah.
Walked around them and decided that, you know, I really, really love them, and I'm just so grateful to have had them for all those years. Mm. So they are my make a difference. Mm. What about you?
Beautiful. Well, I've been listening to the Brady Bros.
The Brady Bros. That's what it's called.
I don't know if it's the Brady Bros or Brady Bros.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It is Greg and what's the other one?
Bobby?
Not Bobby, the middle one.
Peter.
Yep. Greg and Peter, whatever their real names are.
No idea.
Someone put me onto it and I listened to it.
How long has it been going?
Oh, a while.
Okay, so it's not
I've listened to some of their first ones because I thought I'll go back from the start. Yeah. But I have to say,
They got better. Okay.
Ish. But I am.
I'm very shocked to hear you listening to two men.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah. I did love the Brady Bunch. And yesterday I was driving along listening. I was thinking, damn it, we need Marsha and Jan.
Yes.
That would have been a better podcast. But anyway, they just break down episodes.
Are they funny?
They're funny. Okay. Yeah, and they just talk about, I don't know. I've been listening to the Grand Canyon episode. So they talk about how they went.
So
I know, and how they went out of the studios.
Yes.
And how they, you know, and then all the funny little stories they've got. And they talk about when Dad came out to the car and when Mom came out. And they address them as that. And then they'll occasionally say Mike. And anyway, look, it's not anything brilliant. It's a little bit of funny.
Make a difference.
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious.
Yep.
And I also, I can't remember their names, but I'm following the Bates conjoined twins.
Right.
Now, they're in Scotland, I think, and their little girls have just been separated.
Right.
And so I'm following her on Instagram. And what a beautiful mum. And she always talks about the wee little girls. And
she's so beautiful.
And so they're in hospital still. And I just think follow them.
Yeah.
And give her some love, because that's a journey twin parenting that we do not know.
We don't know.
And I think there's lots of those stories on Instagram if you want to find them. Those little beautiful identical girls now in their pram separately, but together.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really precious.
Yeah. And my laugh for the week is, I was telling Mandy before, I am trying to work out what I do with my life. You know, I'm 50, you'd think I'd know by now.
It's a big transition time.
Yes, lots of transitions in my life. And, you know, I stopped working full time.
Yeah.
I'm getting divorced, blah, blah. Everyone knows this. But I'm trying to work out, how can I have a job that I can get the boys to TAFE on Wednesday? I can still do the school support. You know, everyone who is listening knows what I'm saying. There is no job.
Mm.
That's the truth.
Mm.
And I want to keep podcasting because I love it. So I want a little part-time job that earns a lot of money.
Yes, of
course. Anyway, you know, I want the golden nugget, the golden ticket. Anyway, so I was talking to Buzz and Woody, and I was like, you know, I've just got to think about what I do and whatever. And then Buzz just looks at me and he's like,
hang on, you did some rapping.
I did. Yeah. Sorry. The other side of this story is that for those of you who don't know, I love rapping. I love it. Not, you know, as in.
Kate, now I have a podcast.
I'm no good at that. But I love
DJ Kate.
Let's make that very clear. WR.
We've got to make a meme.
I do love the Hilltop Hoods, and I love a bit of hip hop.
Okay, but rapping presence.
Yes, so I have so many rolls of wrapping paper and ribbons, and I just, it's like therapy.
Yeah.
And I wish that I could have a wrapping paper van, but there's no way people are going to pay.
You don't know.
Oh, it costs a lot, though, and my time.
I'd pay because I'm shite at it.
Yeah, but you, maybe for one person, but you wouldn't give me a whole Christmas thing. You'd be like, no, they're going in a sack.
You don't know.
I don't know. There are rich people. That's what Jenny said. She goes, you're underestimating the fact that there are rich people
in the world.
That's
right.
She goes, do you think Gina Reinhart wraps her own presents? Hit
Probably
me up, Gina.
Not.
Let me know. Anyway, so I'd been wrapping and I'd been making gingerbread. So Christmas was on everybody's mind in the house. And Buzz said to me at the bus stop, I've thought of a job for you. And I said, really? And he was like deadpan. So I was like, okay, he's got something. He goes, you love Christmas, you love wrapping, and you love gingerbread. I think you should be Santa. I mean, okay, is that on seek or how do I do this? I feel like quite flexible.
I mean, honestly, it's a job for you.
It is. And really, yeah, I only have to be on proper site for 24 hours. As long as I can get someone else to look after the boys for that day.
I know, that's I right. Think,
and it looks like there's time travel. Anyway, that's
the best.
I've just laughed about it a lot.
I know.
And I was like, yeah, I could. I love giving presents too.
You do. I know.
I love choosing presents for people.
It's really important.
So,
yes.
Santa.
The gift of gifts. The spiritual gift, the gift of gifts.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. So if anyone else has got a job that's like that, let me know.
Well, I can see you doing it, but anyway, it's, yeah.
Santa.
No. Well, you could be in your caravan wrapping the presents with a red hat on.
I could. Yeah.
Sure. Let's get the logo. You know I like to start with a logo.
Yeah, she does like a logo. Kelly, be careful.
Yeah, that's right. Well, my laugh is Molly went on school camp like 2 days after we got back from Tassie, which was terrible timing,
but
what can you do because it's school camp.
Yep.
And so I knew she was a little on edge, but she got there and we picked her up and she she had a lot to debrief. And then I said, you know, she was talking about food, of course, because we always talk about it. And she said, the dining room where we had to eat, it just was gross and it smelt like men's feet.
Specifically, I can smell it.
You can smell it.
What would have been kids at the end of the day. Some of them had changed their shoes.
And probably
or
a
socks.
Manky campsite. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I can smell it.
I know. It's so it made me laugh for ages because I thought nailed that.
Oh, you know, sometimes you walk into a school and you're like, okay. That was inside timetable today.
Anyway, so funny.
Yep.
Thank you for listening,
Peas.
We've got a few more episodes to the end of the year. We're going to be finishing up sort of early December.
Yep.
Mid-December.
There might be a couple of best ofs coming out over summer if we get organised. But
we're just giving you warning. We're taking our usual couple of months off, okay?
We need most of December, all of January.
Yep.
So, and you need a break from us.
Yeah, that's right. You sure do.
Yeah, we want you to miss us.
With a vengeance. Anyway, thank
you.
See you.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at yoquierodineropodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.